Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 26, 2016. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return, the last generation before he returns. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you could also, if you want to send us a prayer request by email, you can do that. Or if you want to add your phone number to it, I can call you. We can pray over the phone. Or if you add your address, physical address, I'll take it with us to the mission church. We'll anoint it with oil, pray over it, and send it back to you. So pray about that. You can also send us one in the United States Postal Service, and we'll send it back to you after we prayed over it. And we will not send any other kind of solicitation to you for anything. Anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, as well as our email address at prophecyhour.com. And remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. So pray about supporting airtime. Airtime isn't free, is not free, and we do not sell anything. Our program archives can also be found at prophecyhour.com. Scroll down there on the right. You'll see something that says In Time Radio Archives. It'll take you to Branch.Podomatic, which even has apps for your smartphone. And I challenge you to share these radio programs with at least two or three other people. On another note, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Stockholm, Sweden, Helsinki, Finland, Dublin, Ireland, Athens, Greece, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Rosario, Argentina, and of course, cities right here in the good old USA, such as Seattle, Washington, Washington, D.C., Tulsa, Oklahoma, Houston, Texas, San Diego, California, Santa Ana, California, Boston, Massachusetts, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which still remains the largest group of listeners to this radio program that is after it hits as a podcast. Now prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, please, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will nor our guest's will. And please, Father, give everybody out there ears in which to hear the truth and understand the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight in your son's mighty name, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. Well, our guest tonight is Dr. Michael S. Kaufman. He received his B.S. in forestry and M.S. in biology at the Northern Arizona University at Flagstaff, Arizona, and his Ph.D. in forest science at the University of Idaho at Moscow. He taught courses and conducted research in forest ecology and forest community dynamics for 10 years at Michigan Technological University, a leading forestry school in the Midwest. Until 1992, Dr. Kaufman was a manager for Champion International, a leading forest and paper products company in the United States. He was responsible for millions of dollars of research on global warming and became intimately involved in such national and international issues. Dr. Kaufman is currently president of Environmental Perspectives Incorporated, EPI. He provides professional guidance and training in defining environmental problems and conflicts and developing solutions to specific issues, as well as the hidden dangers of international treaties and agreements that threaten our constitutional protections, especially property rights. He played a key role in stopping the ratification of the Convention on Biological Diversity. Thank you, brother. Biodiversity Treaty in the United States Senate 1 hour before the ratification vote. Wow, this guy was a miracle. That would have been the Wetlands Project. Maybe one of these days we'll ask him about that. Anyway, he's written 4 books exposing environmental phenomenon. He's also produced numerous videos, the most recent are 2, which numerous scientists explain why global warming cannot be caused by man. His last 2 books, Rescuing a Broken America and Plundered, define how we're losing our constitutional liberties and our ability to utilize our natural resources in our free market system, all to the point that we're facing economic collapse and what we can do about it. Well, this is a great follow-up program to the one we had earlier in which we talked with one of the founders of Homeland Security, which talked about hear something, say nothing. Anyway, so let's welcome now Michael Kaufman. Are you there with me, Michael?
I am. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm absolutely. The timing of you and you at the last minute, I had a brother fill in for my first radio program that I did at 5 o'clock. He just wrote a book called "Hear Something, Say Nothing." And he is a founding, one of the founding members of Homeland Security. And that was a great precursor to your book, which is Radical Islam in the House, the plan to take America for the global Islamic State. It wasn't planned. Anyway, so modern Muslims, what about that? Take us into it.
Well, a lot of modern Muslims, as you've heard, are basically want to be melded into the whatever civilization they're in and want to do good things and so forth. The problem is that sooner or later, when things really start to get out of hand and start to boil, they're going to be challenged to join the jihad or they die. And that's the problem with Islam, is that if you don't agree with me, you're dead. And one of the problems that we have, the big problem that we have in that whole effort, is the fact that what every Muslim understands is if this time ever comes, when the end times really come, and it looks like it could come pretty soon, is that they have to look at you and I and everyone else that is not a Muslim as a heathen and destroy them. I mean, it's just really unfortunate. They don't want to do this, but it's their life or ours.
Okay, well, let me say this. So what we're actually saying, that while a Muslim may come into this country, even though you see them in some places around the country where they're starting to form Sharia places, but a modern Muslim, just really, while they want to assimilate, they really just can't assimilate 100%, I guess you would say.
No, that's correct. And then, of course, you have the 5 or 10 or 15% in any Islamic community that is jihadist in their nature, that are egging on conflict and so forth within that community and try to reach out and touch the American lives in a very negative way. It's just inevitable if that's going to happen, and that's really tragic.
Well, let's go with this. Let's tell the folks, you know, what is the Muslim Brotherhood? I know, but tell the folks what that is exactly.
The Muslim Brotherhood, of course, was voted in, gosh, I don't remember when it was. It was about 7 or 8 years ago in Egypt. And they're part of what is called the explanatory memorandum of the general strategy goal for the group in North America that was seized by the U.S. government in 2004 and used in 2008 in the Holy Land Foundation trial. In other words, they were implicated in the Holy Land trial. They were not convicted. The problem is that much of what was brought out in that trial is true, and they need to be recognized as a terrorist organization. There's just no way. But they're looking at it in a different way. One of the things that separates them from what you find with Al-Qaeda or something else is that they're trying to actually bring down the United States and other Western civilization nations internally. In other words, bring us down by corrupting our organizations, our governments, and so forth, which Obama has opened the door to wide open. I mean, literally wide open. And they are actually developing U.S. policy today. It's just amazing how this president has so corrupted our government with the ideology of radical Islam that is beyond belief. And I'm not talking about the average Muslim now. I'm talking about the radical Muslim. And that's an important distinguishment because, God loves all people, including Muslims. But he hates those who are against him, and we can talk about this later on in the hour. But it's really important to understand that the radicals in this movement are right here in this country and are installed within the government, actually creating policy within the U.S. government.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we want to talk about. We might as well start off with Obama himself and you know, his brother. His brother Malik. Tell us about Malik a little bit.
Well, Malik is his brother, and I think he's in Saudi Arabia. No, I'm sorry. I'm having a chemo moment here.
That's okay.
But he is.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, I thought isn't his brother in Kenya?
Yes, it is. Well, his family is from Kenya. They're spread out a little bit right now, but the fact is that he may be back in Kenya by now. But he works closely with the Saudi government. And we can't trust the Saudis that much either. Most of them, I think, are safe in that sense. In other words, they're not out to destroy the United States. However, they are guided by this principle that all nations should be Islamic and are moving in the direction or doing things in a way that will advance their religion all over the world.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's actually the premise. That's what the Quran says, you know. I've had some Muslims on here, you know, that could say they're not Mohammedan Muslims. And, you know, their parents were, so they absolutely know all about it. But what they do say is the fact that, you know, a lot of these people that are being called radical Muslims aren't in the sense, I believe that's just a politically correct term because a normal Muslim is not one that actually follows the Quran 100% because if they followed 100%, they would be like these folks that you're calling radical. Back to you.
That's exactly right. And that's, I think, of the greatest concerns should be for all of us. Is the fact that they are not following the Quran exactly. If they ever turn and start to follow the Quran exactly, they're going to be doing some pretty evil things.
Yeah, absolutely. But what's really amazing is this, you know, is that we have a president that's going to the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, we did a little talking about the Muslim Brotherhood and who they were, but. And he has even admitted he knows what their goals are. So what is the agenda of the president? The goal is to bring down Western civilization. What's he trying to do? Turn America into an Islamic nation? What do you think?
Well, you know, it's a good question. I can't get into the mind of the president, but at the same time, the things that he does would strongly suggest that he is trying to turn the United States into an Islamic country. In fact, most of your Islamic nations believe that that's exactly what he's doing. And because they believe that what he has said and what he has done proves that he is Muslim and the fact that he wants to turn the country into an Islamic state.
Yeah, absolutely. But the fact goes, you know, it really doesn't matter if he is Muslim or not. What matters is his heart's open to them, and he's furthering the Muslim cause. Back to you.
Yes. He's opened his heart. For some reason, I haven't figured it out yet, he has switched from the Saudis to the Iranians. In other words, he gives his support now to the Iranians. And, of course, that's led to the nuclear treaty that's basically a disaster, and a number of other things that he has done with Iran here recently, totally ignoring sovereignty of the United States. And that suggests that he is, for some reason, is really, really focused on the Shiite effect of Islamic or Muslim or Islam itself. And the Shiites are far more vocal about the end times and the Mahdi. The Mahdi is their Christ in the sense that he will return at the end times and give the Islamic nations the strength to conquer the entire world. That is their purpose. And when that happens, they've been taught since child, and this is even true with the Sunnis as well, is that they've been taught is when the Mahdi comes back, they are to take direction from him and do what the Quran talks about. So this is what I'm talking about when things are starting to head in a direction that would suggest that we are heading towards the end times. And let me tell you, there's a lot of things that are suggesting that we're heading towards the end times. Would turn them or force them into the belief that they have to join the jihadis in order to conquer the entire world, because that's what the Quran tells, teaches, the Haddad and all the rest teach that they have to follow the Mahdi when this happens.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, and you know, a good point of what's out in the book. I was surprised to see it, you know, but not a lot of people talk about it. But when we get it, there's a place in it where you talk about the mark of the beast, and I've seen that before from Walid Shubat and from Joel Richardson. Can you address that a little bit for the folks?
Well, the mark of the beast is one of the things that the Bible calls out, especially in Revelation, that would mark the individual or the individuals that would bring on the end times, the power structure. Whether it's in a single individual or several individuals, it's really not clear biblically. But the fact is, the mark of the beast describes the time in which the people itself are going to start turning and do some really, really weird things. And, of course, Christians, as Christians, we're going to be marked for extinction in some form sometime during that period of time. And the period, the thing that really is describing, is really shocking, is that every description of the mark of the beast or the Antichrist, as we call them often, in the Bible, is met in Allah, in the description given in the Quran and so forth. There's 99 different descriptions given in the Quran about Allah, and several of them are bragging about how he is the master of deceit. Well, in the Bible, who is the master of deceit? It's the Antichrist. And you can't help but understand that we're seeing here a potential, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but a potential for deceit to come across this world. And of course, in Thessalonians, it talks about this deception. But the deception is going to be that Allah is the true God, and Jesus is his avatar, as it were, or his prophet, as if you want to call it that, because that's the way it is in the Quran. And
okay,
we believe.
Let me put this forward. Basically, Islam says that Allah has no son, and that Jesus isn't his son; he's just a prophet.
Right.
Well,
right.
But the word of our Father says that he who denies the Son denies also the Father, and that's the spirit of Antichrist. And
it is.
So the whole Muslim religion, in its pretext, does, with that statement, does two things. Of course, it declares that you know, no son, so you deny Jesus. But it proves that when, you know, Christians say it all, we hear some Christians say it all the time, well, we all worship the same God. No, we do not.
No, we don't.
Yeah, amen. You agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. There is no way that Allah is anywhere close to related to God, our God, God the Father. And as a consequence, you have to understand that the two are about as separated as 180 degrees and 10,000 miles apart. There is no way that Allah has anything to do with God. In fact, he is literally the anti-God. I know there's no expression like that in the Bible, but he is the anti-God. And we need to understand that as Christians. Now, understand that the people that follow him are still people that Christ loves, and that we should extend the hand of knowledge and so forth to them in order to try to draw them to Christ. And we have been very, apparently from what's going on in Iran right now, there is a mass conversion going on right now in Iran and some of the other Islamic states that they can't stop.
Yes, there is. Absolutely. And we had Joel Richardson on recently and some of his friends, and you know what he's doing. They're witnessing into refugee camps, and the Muslims are having visitations of Jesus in refugee camps, you know. And so there's actually, in the midst of all the Christians being slaughtered over there, and the Muslims being slaughtered, there's a revival going on, and it's being headed by Jesus. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. I just wish it would happen in this country.
Well, you know, everybody does, but you know what? I think that, you know, those things come under persecution. I think that, for the most part, a lot of the Christian church just, I don't know, maybe it's not the need or something, but they need to get back to, I don't know, to putting him first, I guess, because a lot of the large, you see these huge churches that become social clubs. Brother, there's a church down the street from our mission church that has a bowling alley in it, and it has a tennis court in it, and you tell me what that has to do with spreading the word of Yeshua, you know?
Not much.
Anyway, we're coming up to the break right now, and what website would you like us to give for you?
Well, probably the only one that has this information on it is AmericaPlunder.com. It has my other book on there as well. But the Islamic book is there, and it has a background description and so forth, and you can purchase it if you so desire.
Okay. Folks, when you go to find this on, when you go to listen to this in podcast, look at our website, I'll have a link to that there, and I'll also have a couple more links for Michael. And right now, we'll be back in 3 minutes to talk more with Michael Coffin.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 26, 2016. You know, before we get anything else, as normally at this time, I ask you to support the little mission, our little mission church in Wichita, Kansas. I have a special person here with me who wants to share something with you that she came up with today. Welcome now, my wife, Sister Linda Catlin, and whom, just like everybody else, I'm just going to call her Mom. Say hello, Mom.
Hello, how are you?
Well, you know, we're both avid Trump supporters, you know. In fact, when we watch his speeches, we just about cry. Or, in fact, we do come to tears sometimes, like yesterday.
And I always say, Trump on Trump.
Right, especially at the national anthem that he did yesterday. But anyway, you came up with something in the kitchen. What happened today in the kitchen? You was telling me while you was making biscuits and gravy.
Well, first off, I was brought to my attention that he had enough delegates, and there's no way they can bump him out now. Yay. And so then I was thinking, and it just came to my attention that the Lord always uses trumpets to sound, right? So I said, okay, the Lord sent us Trump as our trumpet. Yes, he's going to trump him.
So that basically you're saying this is the Lord's trump?
Well, I don't know if it's the Lord's trump. I'm just feeling that that's, yes, that the Lord sent him. Well, I can't say for sure that it's the Lord's, but that's the way I feel.
Yeah, amen. And you know what? A lot of things that you say, my wife, folks, a lot of things, she says things to me just offhand, and it turns out to be very, very prophetic. We don't know, indeed, if God has sent Trump, but we are praying that he is the man, the Trump, as it would be, to save America. Thank you.
Trumpet.
Well, folks, that was my wife. Please remember to pray tonight about our donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Of course, the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the poor that come from all over the city. People who work hard part-time just to keep a roof over their family's head. They come looking for food, clothing, first aid, over-the-counter medications, blankets, Bibles, the gospel, and miracle prayer. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love's the first answer. They're treated as family. We give them a relationship. Second, we have no set guidelines like program. People just walk in the door and ask. That's the rule. Then, if we don't have a way to fill the need, we pray it in. This is why the agencies even tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. Yes, we are responsible to care for so many because we are the last hope for so many. And we are responsible to care one for another as we are brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. Or you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com or call me at 620-878-4682. And now we're back talking about a book called Radical Islam in the House, The Plan to Take America for the Global Islamic State. And the author is Michael Cofton. Are you still with us, Michael?
I am.
Okay, brother, a couple little points, and then I might want to I got a couple questions I want to ask you about another topic that I've seen that you're really up on. But you have a co-author, Catherine Mathewson. Who's that?
Yes. That's one of the individuals that has worked with me for the last 20 years, and she is brilliant. She did actually most of the research for the book, and I took that and wrote the book along with her. She wrote a couple of chapters. I wrote a couple of chapters, and we kind of leapfrogged together through the book. And we're in the process now of writing a second book that goes more into the history of the Jewish nation and the Jewish people, or the Israeli people. And if you think you understand the history, you're wrong, because it's been so contorted and so distorted by the progressives in this country and around the world that any semblance of reality is purely coincidental. It is really an amazing thing, and we want to get that out to the American people.
Well, amen. I'll be most interested in that and talking to you on that subject. But for the record, you know, I'm Messianic, which means I'm Torah observant, and we reread the Bible over and over. And so, you know, I have interviewed some just rabbis on here to talk about Bible prophecy and others. So I pretty much do know the history, but you're right. Mainstream people, even in the church, doesn't get it because they've been spoon-fed something else. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure you do because of the research that you have done yourself. But most people, as you said, don't have a clue. They believe the lie.
Yeah, absolutely. And out of that lie comes hatred and being anti-Semitic, you know, and replacement theology, you know, that people don't even realize that they're using replacement theology.
Yes. Yes, yeah, they really don't. And that's, I don't know if I'm going to get into that in this book, but at the same time, it's really important to understand what replacement theology is and why it's wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Have you came up with a name for that book yet?
No, not yet. We're still about the third chapter of it. It's going to be a short book like Radical Islam is, because we want to have people read and we don't want to have them intimidated by the size of the book. And
okay.
Really
Amen.
Try to zero in.
I like that. And, you know, because a lot of people are intimidated by a thick book, especially in this day and age, because, well, I'll read a big, thick book, you know. Most people don't want to. You know, it's hard to even get them to read. But let me say something about this book for the folks a minute. Folks, this book is entitled Radical Islam in the House, The Plan to Take America for the Global Islamic State. And I really strongly suggest you get this book because I know that a lot of you folks that listened to the previous program the fellow was a Homeland Security, you know, he helped originate the Homeland Security, a founder, if you will. In fact, he showed us a certificate where it says he is a founder of Homeland Security. But he talks about the things, these are companion books. They should actually be sold together. Michael, if you haven't gotten that book, you should really get it.
What's the name of it?
It's a, let's see if I got the name in front of me. It's a net, well, it's See Something, it's I know what it is. It's See Something, Say Nothing.
Yeah.
See Something, Say Nothing. It's put out by World Net Daily, and the man's name is Philip Haney. I get kind of, you know, tied up. I get talking about your book, and I got that in my head, and I forget what happened.
It happens to the best of us.
Well, I'm getting older. I am 60 now, and so at 60, I can make all kinds of claims and get away with all kinds of things because of that.
Yeah, that's true. I'm in
really?
My 70s, so that really helped me find forgiveness amongst the people.
Yeah, amen. Well, there's something I would like, if you don't mind me kind of switching for a minute, you're working on something that's really dear to my heart, environmentalism, and I noticed somewhere in the websites and looking through them that you talk about the wetlands, you know. Can you tell us, or is that your expertise field to be able to say this wetlands project is and what they're trying to do? They're trying to steal America, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And through regulations, basically, wetlands are important. I don't want to diminish that. But they're not as important as they're made out to be, if you understand what I'm saying. So many things are blamed way out of context, and wetlands is one of them. We don't have a situation where if we destroy wetlands, the earth is going to end. And yet that's the perception that is put out there. And we need to stop, because it really, you have a whole series of regulations to keep people from doing on their own land what they want to do, which is what the intent of the Founding Fathers was, and hemmed in through regulation that really does stymie any development and so forth and really causes a slowdown in our economy. In fact, there have been numerous studies done, something like $1.8 trillion worth of negative impacts by regulations. Now, some of those regulations are necessary. You know, I'm not against regulations.
Right.
But so many of them are for social manipulation, for control over land area, and a variety of other things that have nothing to do with the environment. In fact, global warming, we're not going to get into that, but global warming is what I'm a real expert in because I got a degree in that, is a pox. You know, it's literally a fraud. There is nothing to substantiate that man is causing global warming. Now, I'm sure it has something to do. In other words, not everything is there is no cause. But the fact is that the so-called massive events that are forecast and prophesied and predicted and so forth just aren't going to happen because of man. It's just not going to happen. And it's one of those things that just drives me nuts because every time I try to give a talk or something on this, you have somebody in the audience that tries to shout you down. And the people, of course, don't have the knowledge to understand what is right and what is wrong. And it really does make a difference. And that's, I think, why they chose that particular subject. In fact, I have some real evidence that goes back into the 1960s on the fact that they would use environmental issues, and global warming especially, to cause the nation to go into a state of fear and allow all these regulations to develop.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got to bring this up. And, you know, I know I brought you on to talk about radical Islam in the House, but this is important, too. You helped stop the ratification of the Convention on Biodiversity.
Yes.
I want to thank you for that. But
well, thank you.
For the people, would you tell them a little bit, what's the Biodiversity Treaty? What was that about? People don't
know. It's still there. In other words, it's still in the U.S. Senate. It's just never been brought out since. It was in 1994 that the Biodiversity Treaty was created in the United Nations as part of Agenda 21 and almost made it through to the Senate for ratification. I was able, because of my extensive knowledge in most states of the United States, draw a map as to what this would do. I mean, it's horrifying when you look at it. And when you look at it from a organic standpoint, it looks like a series of blood veins going through some sort of organism. And that's exactly what they intended. In other words, they wanted the environment to control over 50% of the United States. 50% now. This is what they said. 50%. So that the environment would always be protected from the harmful effects of human activities. And I was able to draw a map that showed about two-thirds, three-quarters of this in on a piece of paper, of course, sent it to the U.S. Senate just the night before they put this out on the floor for ratification. And it went down. I mean, it was put the Senate in a state of shock. And this is God. It's not me. I mean,
yeah,
it's just one of those things. It was just one of those things where God used me because I had the talent and the understanding to do it. And it stopped the whole thing right in its progress.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, I didn't know how it got stopped. I know it got stopped at the last minute because, you know, I come from back in, you know, when Bill Clinton was talking about all this, you know, and they call it the Wildlands Project, too, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And that was just horrific, and I thought they was going to pass it, and I saw it got stopped, and I said, well, you know, I thank the father for it, you know, in his son's name, but, you know, and now I'm talking to the man that you know, the guy used to stop it, and so I just really, you know, thank you, I guess.
Well, thank you. You know, it wasn't me per se. I mean, I had to do what I did, but at the same time, it was God that provided the way to do it, so I give all the credit to God.
Yeah,
and we stopped it an hour before the ratification vote was to take place, or the closure vote that comes before the ratification vote was to occur. That's how close it was.
Yeah, amen. I think on one of those websites that I looked at, I think I saw a blog that or it was either on a blog or website, because I found a bunch of different places for you, but one of them I think had a maybe it was a YouTube that you said, well, who does the land belong to? But it showed a map of the wildland.
Yeah.
And I'm going to find it. I'm going to include it in this. Folks, I'm going to include that map link when I post this to podcast. By the way, brother, when I post this to podcast later, right now we're on live radio, and it is going live on the net, but after the radio program, this will go into a podcast so I can include some links with it, and so I'm going to include a link to that, too. And so,
great.
Because it's a big deal. One day I'd like to get you back, and we could just talk all about this from start to finish, you know.
Sure.
But two things, though. That's a project of the left. So, well, speaking of the left, why is it, you know, if Sharia law was fully implemented in the United States, the left in no way would like it at all whatsoever because they couldn't live under it. So why are they embracing it? Are they just?
Well, that shows the level of deception this whole thing is under. When you consider that women are totally mistreated under Islamic law or Sharia law, and then that the women in the progressive movement and so forth here in this country just fall all over themselves for Sharia law. I mean, there's got to be a tremendous amount of deception going on. I don't think I've ever seen the kind of deception that I'm seeing right now at so many different levels and so many different topics that just amaze me. I mean, I cannot understand how people can be so deceived. And you have the, you know, I don't know what you think about Hillary, but I've been following her for a long time, and she is a pathological liar as far as I can tell.
Absolutely.
And yet people can't see that, literally cannot see that. And you have to ask yourself, well, why? Because we're starting, I think, maybe, I don't know, for, you know, you can only do what you observe.
Right.
The great delusion that Paul talked about in Thessalonians, we're not there yet. So if you're amazed at what's happening with delusion right now, boy, just wait.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really amazing.
We'll look at the less delusion now. You know, there's like 0.0% of the people are transgender, but yet they're wanting to open the bathrooms up to everybody and causing all this problem. And you know, there's been a lot. Back, I played a video yesterday where there was like 20-some cases, and they even had more of all men that had attacked women in bathrooms that were dressed in women's clothing, and they said they had a ton more. But my point is this. They're trying to just, I think they're just trying to demoralize the country, you know, do away with our morals. Anything that is against Christianity, they're for. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I agree. And you have now the situation where a small minority, I mean really small in this case, as you pointed out, is controlling the vast majority. The vast majority's rights are being totally ignored in this particular process. And that's got to be by design. There's no other way you can look at what's happening in this country today and not understand it as is an attack on not only Western civilization, but the whole Christian moral structure of nations that has served us so well over the centuries.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And not only that, they're hitting us on all things. You know, they're trying to make us keep Christianity just inside our houses, you know. And before long, they'll be inside our houses. You know, I'm a pastor, and, you know, I marry people. I'm waiting for them when I turn down. I haven't had any gay people ask me to marry them. But if I do, I'm for sure going to turn them down and tell them why, you know.
I think telling them why is probably the most important part of turning them down, is
because
they don't understand what they're doing. They literally don't understand. It's like Christ being on the cross and saying, "Forgive them, Father, because they know not what they do." So many of these people don't have a clue as to what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. But a lot of that problem, though, falls to the Christian church because, you know, while I say I'm Messianic, you know, we reread the Torah every year, and plus we read the New Testament, of course, but, you know, there's things in there that they need to know. Like in the Old Testament, it says a man to, and I'm paraphrasing, but a man to wear woman's clothing is an abomination. You know?
Yeah.
The mental health books say that a man doing that has a gender identity problem and that it's a mental illness. All of a sudden, it's sanity? Well, it's insanity. The word tells us that woe in that day when bad will become good and good will become bad. So, absolutely.
Yes. I agree with that. I've been looking at that particular verse for a while now, for several years, thinking, boy, it's right at our doorstep, and we're crossing the line right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you write about environmentalism and all that anymore?
Oh, yes. I've written several books on different environmental. My latest one, it's not so much on environmentalism as it is on geopolitics. Environmentalism plays a key role. But it's on geopolitics, and it's called Plundered, how America is falling into the trap of, it's been a while enough, I forget the subtitle's name, of the progressive movement.
Right. Folks, he has a website called AmericaPlunder.com, AmericaPlunder.com. You can go over there and check him out. You know, if you don't mind, I think I'm going to, is it right if I let you out a little bit early tonight?
Sure.
Okay, well, folks, his book is Radical Islam in the House, The Plan to Take America for a Global Islamic State. If you hear our other program tonight, these books are companion books. If you buy one, you're going to have to buy the other. They go hand in hand. Michael, I'd really, really love to have you along on sometime to talk a whole program about the plan with environmentalism. And when you do get that book done, would you please notify me that it's done? That's right down my alley. I want to hear about that one.
That sounds great.
Okay, well, thanks for being on with me. God bless you.
You too. Bye now.
Okay, goodbye and be blessed. Well, folks, that was Michael Kaufman, and he was we let him out a little bit early, but that's all right. We can talk. Radical Islam in the House, The Plan to Take America for the Global Islamic State. Now, if you, this book covers a lot of things. It even has about the Mark of the Beast, which we started to go into and didn't get fully into, but the Mark of the Beast, it shows you what it is, and it has a picture of the signature, and it isn't, it'll surprise you what the 666 really is. And so it's really a good book to get into. Also, like I say, it goes along with the other things, but this is a man, you guys realize, a lot of you don't know what the Convention on Biodiversity, what it did to this country, what it did to the world, and the treaty is still sitting there, but this is a man the father used to stop it, and they stopped it an hour before it was supposed to go up for vote. You know, the first vote. So, you know, that's a powerful thing. That is a very powerful thing. Well, folks, real quick, I'm going to give you an update, you know, on the girl that we've been helping. You know, we've been helping this girl that, you know, she has a baby. And if you remember right, folks, the last thing that we said that she went to the hospital. Well, we in the hospital, they gave her something and her arm went numb and so did one leg. They became paralyzed. Well, she got the feeling back of one arm, but she lost her legs, both of them, from, you know, just right above her legs, you know, down. She has no feeling. She can't move them. And so they kept her in the hospital about a week. And at the end of that week, they told her they didn't know what was wrong with her, and they sent her out of the hospital. You realize that? They paralyzed. She got paralyzed in the hospital, and they just sent her out. They didn't send her to another doctor to try and find out, and they just sent her out of the hospital. And they did say, oh, by the way, no charge. Sorry for the inconvenience, no charge. Really? Sorry for the inconvenience, no charge? Well, you know, they know that she was a homeless girl staying in a homeless shelter, you know. And so she gets back to the shelter, and the shelter's about to kick her out because she hasn't been there to do her chores. And I went over there to see her, and she says, Pastor Dan, she says, they gave me chores to do the dishes. I'm in a wheelchair. And she said, the dishes are up here. The counter's over her nose. How is she supposed to do the dishes? You know, and this is a Christian shelter. So, you know, I don't know what to say, folks, except that she's not getting good treatment. But let's talk about this girl's faith. She's able to laugh and to talk. And she told me, Pastor Dan, you know, you anointed me with oil. I believe that the Father is going to heal me. But I'm going through this, and he's going to heal me at some time, and my faith is that Jesus is going to heal me, and I have complete faith in him. I'm not mad at God, and he has his reasons. And I said, really, you know, I said, you come out of the hospital paralyzed, and your situation is worse than when you went in. Come out paralyzed. Come on. I'd be on the floor in a heap, but yet this girl is to be able to hold her head up. You know, and so right now we're counting down and think, well, why shouldn't she go to another hospital? She should. She went to this other clinic, and this other clinic said, you need to immediately go to the hospital. But she has a baby. She can't go to the hospital till she finds a place to live. other than the shelter, because if she goes in the hospital, she loses her place in the shelter, and also she has a baby to think about, and so on and so forth. And so we're trying to find her a place to rent. It's hard to do with the funds that we have, but there is an agency that may pay for her for 2 months' rent and so on and so forth to get her started. But she has to find that, and so we have to go driving around and do it. And so, you know, we could really use your support in this. Messiah's Branch could use a donation, so not only so we could help that girl, but to help other people. These are the kind of people that we help. We give prayers to. We do everything we can. In fact, Mom took the baby for a while that she has. He's a four-month-old baby, and my wife took it for a while when she was in the hospital. We do these things for people that nobody else does. We made sure that she didn't lose her baby. Anyway, so pray about supporting Messiah's Branch. We really do need your help. And, hey, it's Memorial Weekend. Hats off to all the veterans. And let me say this. We are going to go out and check the graves out that we have in our family and put flowers out. Anyway, I got to go. I got to get out of here. Before you know it, they'll be cutting me off. So you must remember that there's only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him and only through him is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you. And his face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.